The opportunity to talk to a candidate running for the United States Senate in the state of Maryland and running as an unaffiliated, I guess. Would you say, Neil, is that what we call you?
Absolutely. Good Neil, to be with you.
Nice to hear from you, Neil. Neil Simon, if you've seen his signs, they're out and about in Frederick County. You may wonder who this individual is. Neil, will take a second or two or a minute to tell us who is Neil Simon and why are you running for U.S. Senate?
Thank you, and it's great to be with you.
Thank you.
We all know that we get terrible results from our federal government right now, and
Amen.
Our healthcare costs are too high, and I was just listening to your traffic report and hearing about how we're all sitting in traffic and the roads are deteriorating, and meanwhile, our federal government is paralyzed. It's stuck in this tribal partisan war where nothing is getting done on behalf of the people of Maryland. So I'm running not as part of a political party, but just to represent the people of Maryland and not represent a party boss. I'm running against Senator Ben Cardin. He votes with his party 97% of the time. 97%. I like to say I love my wife. I don't agree with her 97% of the time, but evidently he agrees with Chuck Schumer 97% of the time. And I want to instead represent the people of Maryland, not a political party.
That sounds very positive as such. How do you do as far as being unaffiliated? Of course, there's money coming to the Democrats and to the Republican Party or to the candidate. How does an independent such as yourself, how do you hold up against these two money machines?
So it is hard, but we've done a great job. We are the leading independent or third-party candidate in the entire country now. A recent poll came out. We're about even with the Republican candidate, and we just gained 10%, and we're on the rise, and both the other candidates are declining. I think I'm the only candidate with a legitimate chance of beating Ben Cardin in this race. And the funding, you're right, is hard. We don't have a party machine behind us. But the good news is, if I'm elected, I'm not going to have to be loyal to a party and not going to have to just say, aye, aye, sir, when they tell me how to vote. My only loyalty will be to the people of Maryland. We've been blessed. We've had, I think, now over 1,000 people contribute to the campaign. We've got hundreds and hundreds of volunteers around the state. So a lot of energy and momentum that we've had to build organically because we don't have that party infrastructure that you referenced.
Well, it's interesting that the candidates sort of forget about this Frederick County, where we are up in the West. We are the second largest city, Frederick City, and we don't get to hear from or see our candidates, or at least I should say our senators from time to time. Have you made trips into Frederick County?
Absolutely, many times. We were there yesterday.
Thanks for the invite, Neil. I really appreciate that.
We'll connect with you next time. But we're there. We'd love to connect with people. And, Frederick, I would encourage your listeners to watch the debate. So there was the Senate debate this past Sunday, and I hope that there'll be more debate. It appears Senator Cardin is trying to back out of a commitment to have another one. But the debate is available on foxbaltimore.com or on C-SPAN's website, and it's being rebroadcast this Saturday. It's rebroadcast. So your listeners can have a chance to watch the debate and hear from all three of the candidates for the United States Senate.
Well, you've spoken well, and the questions come up is I agree with everybody wants lower health care, everybody wants yada yada. Well, do you have a specific plan in mind, or because everybody says we want this, but do you have a plan that backs this up? I know you come from a background of finance and business. What are we missing here that the United States or our government hasn't done for us or to us?
Sure. So first, on my background, I am a career business person. So I've run 4 different companies, and I've created lots of jobs, high-paying jobs in Maryland. And I've provided health care to hundreds of people, and I'm proud of that. And I think, at the same time, I think our health care costs are way too high. At my company, the health care costs doubled in my last 7 years. And I've talked to so many people around Maryland, small businesses trying to provide health care to people who are struggling with the expense of it, families who are struggling with the expense. And what the parties are doing right now is really arguing over how to pay for a very inefficient system rather than trying to fix the system. So you've got the Democrats who are arguing increasingly for socialized medicine, which would expand our federal government massively and add trillions of dollars, literally trillions of dollars, to the expense of our government. At the same time, you have Republican leaders who have called for the abolition of the Affordable Care Act without a replacement, which would leave millions of people uninsured. And I don't think that makes a lot of sense either. So what I think we need to do is fix the Affordable Care Act and do it in a way where we're incentivizing wellness rather than incentivizing more of everything. If you think about our healthcare system now, when you go, everybody wants you to have more tests and more procedures and more visits because more money is made by everybody in the system, the doctors, the medical providers. The insurance companies can charge more for the premiums, and then the insurance brokers make more money. And so everybody makes more and more money. The parts of our healthcare system where we incentivize wellness work a lot better. So things like the way hospitals now work in Maryland and things like Kaiser Permanente. So I advocate for that type of system. But I think what's not productive is the parties, like on many, many other issues, dig into trenches, argue for extreme positions, and are getting nothing done for the people of Maryland. Our healthcare costs have just gone up and up and up and up.
Sounds good. Frank, do you want to talk? You're right here listening. Frank Mitchell, what do you have to say?
No, I want to hear.
Afternoon. Welcome to Free Talk Radio, 930 WFNB. We have Neil Simon on the phone with us, who is the independent candidate for the United States Senate, running against current Senator Ben Cardin. Noticed, Neil, from the some of the postings that Senator Cardin's approval, or at least his polling, has fallen below 50%.
It has. He's below 50%. His approval rating has fluctuated in the low to mid 40%, while Governor Hogan's has been between 65 and 73%. So just to give you listeners a sense of how much people are unsatisfied with the job being done by the United States Senate on behalf of Maryland right now.
I know you're looking at a third path here from the traditional Republican-Democrat, but I've heard you talk mostly about the incumbent, Senator Cardin. But why do you feel it would be a better decision for people to vote for you as opposed to the Republican candidate, Tony Campbell?
So I think we're the only candidate with a realistic chance of beating Senator Cardin. If you look at the last financial report, for example, we've outraised them by, I think, 30 or 40 times. And I think also what we need in the United States Senate are not partisan warriors for one side or the other. We don't need more people fighting for the blue team and the red or the red team and getting nothing done. What we need are people who are going to focus on finding common ground and getting things done for the people of Maryland. I think we're all tired of the stalemate and the bad results we get, but we're also tired of the divisiveness that leaks from Capitol Hill into our society and pits us against each other. And I've heard this over and over again from people around Maryland who they look at our federal government, they feel like it's broken and it's doing more to pull us apart than bring us together.
Well, it also shows that in Maryland, it appears that independent voters are gaining faster than any other political party, so you may have something there. You say, if people look at you, Neil, and they say, well, Neil is independent, but he leans right or leans left, where would you say, or would you get out of that by saying you're in the middle?
Yeah, it's different on different issues. I'm a career business person. I believe deeply in the private sector and the importance of a good job for people. I think if you have a good job, you've got an income, you got health care, you got a place to go, sense of purpose. So I am definitely a pro-business candidate. At the same time, there are some social issues where I'm aligned a little bit more on the left. I never bought into this whole idea that each one of us are supposed to agree with 70 different positions, one side or the other.
Good.
You're a smart person, and you've got the ability to think about different issues, and you might agree with the Republicans on a lot of things and with the Democrats on a few.
Correct.
And that's how I think about it. I grew up in a household where my mother was a Democrat and my father was a Republican, so I turned 18 and I registered as an independent.
A smart move.
And you're not alone there.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Frank.
Just want to fire off in a few minutes here some of the, I guess, bigger issues. I'll give you the issue. Tell me what you think. Immigration.
To immigration, another example of an issue where it's been in the public discourse for over 10 years and nothing has gotten done, right? Zero. So I think what we need to do are a couple of Republican proposals and a couple of Democratic proposals. I do think we need additional border security. It's ridiculous that we allow about 500,000 people a year to come into this country illegally, and we need to reduce that dramatically. At the same time, I think we do have people who have been here for decades, many of whom came as children, who deserve to have some kind of fair path towards citizenship. But you can't do that unless you have a secure border. And I think, but if people are law-abiding and tax-paying and have been here for a long time, we should treat them fairly.
So,
but the Democrats argue increasingly for abolishing ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and they resist border security, which is ridiculous. But then the Republicans' leaders are arguing for policies that are pulling families apart, which I really don't think is American values. And I think this should be an area where we can find common ground and get something done, but nothing has gotten done.
Neil, Second Amendment, big in Frederick County, this part of the state. Do you have a stance on that, on the Second Amendment?
I do. You know, I believe in the Second Amendment. People have the right to bear arms, to defend themselves, and not just against a home invasion, but even against a tyrannical government. At the same time, I do think our government has the right to regulate that in a way to increase public safety. The only things I think we should do, there are three of them. One is, I think we should prevent criminals and terrorists from getting weapons. So I believe in universal background checks. Second is, we should prevent people who are in a volatile mental state from buying weapons, which is adding a mental health component. And we've got to be careful about how we do that and respect privacy, but I think we should do it. And then the third thing I talk about is bump stocks. And I talked to a former Army Ranger who's an NRA member, and he said, you know, we don't really need bump stocks. They're inaccurate. I wouldn't use them to defend myself. So, and 83% of Americans or more agree with each of those three positions. So I think those are the three things that we should do. It's where the common ground is, and then we should move on. And instead, another issue where the parties dig into extreme positions, right? You've got people on the left calling for all sorts of restrictions, and people on the right who dig in and say, you can't do a thing. And I think we just got to focus on where there's common ground and get something done.
We just had confirmed a conservative constitutionalist justice to the Supreme Court. Do you have an opinion on, not the procedure, because that no one likes, but do you have a knowledge of Brett Kavanaugh?
Yeah. So first of all, the procedure was an absolute disgrace to our country, the process. And I found it an embarrassment in so many ways. They were treating the victim of sexual assault like a political football, and that's just not okay. And the process itself was disgraceful. It was only 25 years ago when these votes were, when Supreme Court justices were confirmed with 96 or 97 votes. And today, it's nearly a straight party line vote. Right. I think 96 of the senators probably decided before the name was even announced how they were going to vote, which is not how this process is supposed to work. I will tell you, I waited until all the information was in. But in the end, I was uncomfortable with the character and temperament that had been displayed by Judge Kavanaugh in that process. And this came up during the debate also, so if listeners are interested in a longer discussion about it, it was, I think, the first question in the debate.
All right. Neil, how do we get in touch with you? What do you? How do we support you? What can we do to
find out more?
To find out more.
So we've got a website, neilsimon.com, NEALSIMON.com. And reach out to us. I will tell you, the campaign has been fueled by volunteers, by donors all over the state, by people who are just tired of the divisive politics that we have and the bad results that we're getting, and believe that we deserve something better than this. Our founding fathers feared what we have today. George Washington even wrote in his farewell address that his greatest fear was that Americans would one day develop more loyalty to political parties than to their country. And sadly, I think we may be there. And we need to change this. There are no political parties in the Constitution. And Maryland has a chance to have the most influential Senate seat there is by having an unaffiliated senator, where the Senate would have to come to me on every vote and decide, where do I stand? And I stand with the people of Maryland. And so I encourage people to get involved and reach out to us.
Well said. We appreciate you taking time out of your day. Good luck in the campaign. If you're in this way, up this way, please stop by.